Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis spins to his right and takes it to the outside and lays it in off the window as he got around the defense. So that's the good news. Giannis is starting to show signs of life now.
Bucks Talk starts now.
3-1. They've got the series lead on the Bucks, 129-103. They take down Milwaukee here tonight at Fiserv Forum.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
It is Bucks Weekly, and it is a somber tone that we have as we hit the airwaves. Obviously, the Bucks down 3-1 in this best-of-seven series with the Indiana Pacers. And as we learned earlier today, the worst fears, I think we are all assuming, but our worst fears are in fact confirmed, in that Damian Lillard suffered a torn Achilles in his left leg, so he will miss the remainder of the postseason. And now you just wonder what the timeline is for a Damian Lillard return, a player who turns 35 later on this summer and has 2 years left on his contract. It is certainly suboptimal to be dealing with for the Bucks, that and the hole that they have currently put themselves in the first round for a second consecutive season, falling behind 3-1 to the Indiana Pacers. The big difference was a season ago, you did not have Giannis. This season, you do have Giannis, but you did not have Damian Lillard to start the series, and now you will not have Damian Lillard to finish the series. It's took on a different tone in the arena last night. And look, after the game Friday night, we talked about the need for energy. It was there on Friday and said we need to match that same energy on Sunday night. A late tip, but continue to bring that energy. And the Fiserv Forum faithful certainly did that, even through it all. To see Damian Lillard go down in a heap 6 minutes into the game, the crowd was still into it. It just was a fight that was insurmountable for the Bucks, and now you are in a must-win situation for three consecutive games to keep your season alive and extend the series back to Milwaukee. So tomorrow afternoon, a 5 o'clock tip from Indianapolis for game five in this best-of-seven series. And as we heard from Doc Rivers after the game, it's a one-game-at-a-time approach, as cliche as it sounds. We know one-game situations. Win one game to extend the series to Friday. From there, win one game to extend the series to Sunday. From there, win one game to advance to the second round. That's the mindset. You still have Giannis on the floor, and as Doc Rivers said after the game as well, you have to lean into those things. You have to discover the lineups and the rotations that work the most and how you get back to tailoring this offense, this defense, this lineup completely and entirely around Giannis Antetokounmpo. That is the situation that we have in this best of seven series. There is a whole lot of optimism coming into this series. I know I put that out there as well. I was pretty confident the Bucks were going to win this series. And, you know, said, I do believe the Indiana Pacers are a very, very good team. So much as saying, if I had to choose, I think I would rather play the New York Knicks than the Indiana Pacers. But nonetheless, you got a healthy Giannis going into the postseason. We think you're going to be healthy, period. And for 2 games and 6 minutes, you were. Jericho Sims came back for the postseason. Giannis was healthy. Damian Lillard came back for game number two. But as we've seen in each of the past 4 years, the best laid plans, right? You win the championship in 2021. And in 2022, Chris Middleton goes down, slipping on a wet spot in game number two of that first-round series against the Chicago Bulls, would not play in the postseason again. And you took the Boston Celtics to 7 games in that second-round series, ultimately losing game 7 in Boston. You had a chance to close out that series at home in game 6, and that was the first of many big Jason Tatum playoff games when he poured in 46 points. But you showed that fight. That even undermanned with basically just Giannis, Drew Holiday having to play up and out of position, you still took the Celtics to 7 games. And I still believe, and I think all of us and most listening believe this, coulda, woulda, shoulda, but if that team was healthy and did not suffer that Chris Middleton injury, I strongly believe we're talking about back-to-back champions, the Milwaukee Bucks, in 2021 and 2022. But nonetheless, that was not the case. And you go into the following season, regrouping, motivated after not having Chris Middleton and not having your big three on the floor. You secure the one seed in the Eastern Conference and draw the Miami Heat, who, as we would go on to see, put together this otherworldly supernova performance led by Jimmy Butler and become one of the 5-8 seeds in NBA history to beat a one seed and advance to the second round of the playoffs. There was a lot going on off the court as well in the personal life of then head coach Mike Budenholzer, and it just felt like a perfect storm of everything converging and nothing that was good for the Bucks, and they go down in the first round. With that, we saw sweeping change. Mike Budenholzer no longer the coach. Adrian Griffin hired to coach this team. And you go into that season with, I think, some renewed optimism, a lot of uncertainty, until we get to the end of September when the Bucks make that big move to bring in Damian Lillard. And then the expectations skyrocketed. And from the onset of that season, this team just never really seemed to gel. And we cautioned, it's not NBA 2K. It's not a video game. These things take time to work through that, to develop that chemistry. You know, it's easy to point to that prior big three of Giannis and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. But that group was together for a couple of years, and that took time. Even in Drew Holiday's first year, it took time for him to get that comfort around Giannis, Chris, and the rest of his teammates. And the group never came together. And then you have, what, 2 weeks before the playoffs, Giannis goes down with a soleus strain. And you put up a fight against the Indiana Pacers without Giannis, with Damian Lillard missing half of that series, with Chris Middleton reaching a whole nother level, and you go down in the first round. And with that, you came into this offseason with some minor tinkering and felt like now is the time. And it certainly looked that way. The final eight games of the regular season, the way that the Bucks were playing, the way that Giannis was playing, the fact that it was starting to converge and line up for health. You know I had said, look, I know the Bucks are putting out the message that they are very optimistic that Damian Lillard is going to be able to return this season. I never bought it and said, this isn't an injury you're coming back from. This is deep vein thrombosis. So I just can't envision it. And he came back. And I think that's what gutted this team more than anything yesterday. Took 35 days from the time we first heard word that Damian Lillard was dealing with a blood clot. 35 days later, it's gone. And he's cleared to return to the floor. How much of that contributed or attributed to his Achilles injury? Who knows? You know, all the talk of, was he overcompensating? He himself said he wasn't able to do anything until a week before the playoffs began. That's why he missed game one. So it was taking some time for him to get back into game shape. Doc Rivers himself said that. But just putting up that fight and that drive to get back on the floor was what was inspiring to his teammates. And I think that's what you saw in the final 42 minutes of yesterday's game. A group that is heavily invested in Damian Lillard, a guy beloved by his teammates. The fight that he had gone through for the previous month, you know, again, not an injury, a potentially life-threatening condition, something that Dame himself talked about and opened up and saying, during COVID, one of the closest cousins that he had the same thing and ultimately passed away tragically. So when he gets that diagnosis of a blood clot, fear goes through his mind. And the team certainly rallied around him. But to see him go down in a heap, and anybody watching, I think we tried to convey this during the radio broadcast last night, you knew what was taking place there. You could see the burst and the fact that he grabbed for the lower portion of his leg. I think we all knew that's an Achilles. You could see Doc Rivers' reaction, where Doc Rivers goes to help him up and help him walk off the floor and slams his leg in frustration, and said after the game as well, same story. He knew what it was, and he was just frustrated for Damian Lillard. I don't think the team recovered from seeing that last night. And Doc even saying, you get into halftime, and you have teammates seeing Damian Lillard in the training room, and seeing what's happening and having everything confirmed of this is the situation, it felt like a knockout punch from the Indiana Pacers. And now you have to pick yourself back up off the mat and win one game at a time. It is not impossible. The deck is certainly stacked against the Bucks. You do have the best player in this series, but you need to find those things that you did in game number three and lean into those. Shot making, defense, those are the two most important things in this series, because the Indiana Pacers, you would have to assume, are going to come with a game plan to load up on and stop Giannis and say, anybody but Giannis, take the shots. Those guys can beat us. He cannot. And for a fourth consecutive season now, we're talking about injuries in the postseason for this team that had the trinity that you need in any postseason run in 2021. They were good. They were healthy. Largely healthy. And they had luck on their side. You lost Dante DiVincenzo in that first-round series. You lost Giannis for two games against the Atlanta Hawks, but Giannis came back. Part of the health, part of the luck. Kevin Durant's toe, part of luck, right? You had all three of those come together. And since the summer of 2021, they have not had that trio in the postseason. That is the most disheartening part about all of this and the situation that the Bucks are currently facing now in this first-round series. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Weekly. I know it's a bit of a somber tone to start this one, but the reality facing this group is potentially not great when we look at the long term. Every season brings with it change. No group is ever the same year after year. But in the case of this team that has continued to get older and now has some contracts lining up for this offseason, it feels even more certain. This team is not going to look the same next season. So this series against the Indiana Pacers, and hopefully it extends beyond that, but this may be the last look we get at this group as it's currently constructed. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Weekly. The question is simple. Where do the Bucks go from here? And what were your thoughts when you saw or heard Damian Lillard go down with what we all assumed to be, and now today we've had that confirmed, an Achilles injury in last night's game? We'll get to the phone lines, hear your thoughts, take a look at game number five in this series. Hopefully we're taking a look at game number six as well. We'll get to that coming up after this on Bucks Weekly. So you're in a elimination situation now going forward. You got to win tomorrow to keep your season alive and extend this series back to Milwaukee on Friday night, and then do the same thing on Friday to force a game number seven. I know there's this urge to get to the off-season talk, and we can certainly entertain that. I think in fairness to the group, we're not quite there yet. Stranger things have happened than this team extending the series or even advancing, so long as you have Giannis. But that is the Band-Aid that it does seem as though everybody is ready to rip off. I mentioned this group is not going to be the same next year. That is the case every season. No group ever returns exactly the same as it was the prior year, but it does feel like there's even more urgency with this group, and that change could be even more drastic and sweeping. And it's not even to get into the discourse that is populating everywhere on the national landscape about that player that you currently have, the best in this series, the best on the floor, the best in the conference, arguably the best in the league. But the fact that you have Brooke Lopez, who is on an expiring contract and is 37 years old. And as we have seen, the playoffs are about matchups. And the importance of that versatility. This series is not a great one for Brooke Lopez. And I would even argue, even round two against the Cleveland Cavaliers, if you can get there. I don't know how great it is. I think it's a better matchup for Brooke Lopez. But matchups are important in the postseason. Roster construction is incredibly important. Bobby Portis has a player option. He can decline that and become a free agent. Kevin Porter Jr. has the same thing. Jericho Sims is a free agent. Now, you have his bird rights. You acquired that in the trade with the New York Knicks. In other words, you can pay more to keep him than any other team. And I do believe he has certainly showed you enough to warrant that and say, okay, there's something intriguing here with this guy. Could he potentially be an all-defense caliber player? I think you see some of those traits. But you have a lot of guys whose contracts are coming up, and you have a roster that is not as old as it once was, but still age is one of those issues surrounding this team. And now you're going into next season, as we said, a torn Achilles for Damian Lillard. Whatever timeline you're looking at, and knowing Damian Lillard, what we do know is the rehab and recovery started today. I'm not going to doubt Damian Lillard. Again, the guy that came back after 35 days from a blood clot. But you do have to be aware of the fact that this is a significant injury. And this is an injury that is especially important for smaller players and guards, where your burst is a big piece of your game, as it is for Damian Lillard. This is an injury that impacts that. Damian Lillard, again, as mentioned, turns 35 this summer. In all likelihood, he's not going to play in an NBA game until he's 36 years old, and that's going to be coming off of a significant injury. So these are the big questions that are currently surrounding this team. When you talk about where they rank, it's too early to get into the run that the Bucks had. The season's not even over. It's a 3-1 deficit. It is not pretty. It's a lot of work to be done, but they're not dead and buried just yet. And I think the frustrating thing is you saw how this group can play. The 8-game win streak to close out the season, the way that Giannis essentially was Nikola Jokic, the way that your role players fit their roles, knock down shots, the way you played in Game 3 of this series were as brutal as the first two games of the series were. Everything changed in Game 3. And one of the biggest pieces of optimism I took out of that game was the fact that it wasn't just a hot shooting night from the Bucks. It was a hot shooting night from Gary Trent Jr. But if we take Gary Trent Jr. out of the mix in that Game 3 shooting performance, the Bucks as a team shot 20%. Take Gary Trent Jr. and A.J. Green out of it, the rest of the Bucks shot 10% from three. So you did feel like, okay, there are a lot of things that are sustainable from this. Gary Trent Jr. knocking down 9 threes? No. But A.J. Green going 4 of 8? Yeah, I think we can see that. And what did he, I think 3 of 5, 3 of 6 in game 4 last night? Other guys you would anticipate to hit shots, and I think we did see that. But the issue for the Bucks once again, was their defense in that game. And if you are going to be one of the, 8%, I believe it is, 8% of teams that fall down 3-1 in a best-of-7 series end up coming back to win the series. If you're going to be a part of that 8%, it starts with your defense. And as Doc said after the game, too, about searching for rotations and lineups, that's the important part. He was saying after the game, it was tough. A blood clot followed by this is just tough. I've seen injuries deflate a team, and tonight that one hurt. It was tough to talk to the team after that, and now my job for the next 48 hours is to get this team upright again, try to win one game in Indiana to get us back here. But my brain right now is in the same place as the players, and that's thinking about Dame. It's not fun. It is a tough one. That's the head coach experiencing that. And again, as we said at halftime, part of you felt like you just need a break. But that break was being in the same locker room, in the training room, and seeing what was going on and having your worst fears confirmed. And I don't think this team ever fully recovered. But you do have to recover now and extend this series back to Milwaukee. As we mentioned, the defense is the way that you do that. Shot making is the other part. And I mentioned some of these series along the way where the Bucks were undermanned, but the Bucks went out on their sword, fighting to the end, and it was largely, especially in that Celtics series, because of Giannis and what you got from him. That is the same type of thing you're going to need tomorrow, ideally Friday, and even more ideally on Sunday, if you can extend this to Game 7. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A couple other playoff games taking place tonight. We'll update you on those scores. One of them is incredibly ugly. We'll get you that score coming up after this on Bucks Weekly.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
Game number 5 tomorrow night in Indiana. The Bucks and the Pacers, they look to keep their season alive. The Bucks do. Down 3-1 in this best-of-7 series. And a lot has gone well for the Indiana Pacers in this series. Look, they've clearly been the better team here. You may have the best player. Indiana has been the better team. And that's why you find yourself in a 3-1 hole right now. It's not just the injury to Damian Lillard. It's not just the fact that Damian Lillard missed game 1 in this series. The Pacers have outplayed you. Even in game 3, the Pacers outplayed you for the first 24 minutes of that game. It's basically been 24 minutes you can hang your hat on in this series. And I think that is a tough part to come to grips with, for the fact that we saw this team really starting to gel and lean into playing a different way to close out the season. But as you know, we caution all the time, the playoffs are different. Playoffs and regular season are different. I've seen a lot of chatter here, and we've got a few texts kind of pointing the same thing out as well. The trade at the trade deadline is one thing we can certainly revisit in the offseason. And it's easy to point back at that and say, well, you should have never done that. I think with all of us, there is at least a small part that does wonder, did you owe it to Chris Middleton and to that group to say, let's see what this looks like with the three of these guys and this coach healthy in the playoffs? You could even get me on board with that. But that's no different from the conversation we had the previous few seasons, last year especially. Hey, just wait until the playoffs. We could back up everything. And that was one of the other big differences this season to last season. In the regular season, you had data points along the way last season that could back up, this is a team to take seriously. The offensive rating, one of the best in the league. The defense, a totally different story. That was the inverse this season. But the Bucks record against the best teams in the league, that 5-man lineup, your starting lineup with Malik Beasley and Dame Lillard in the backcourt, alongside Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Brooke Lopez, by the numbers, that 5-man grouping had the best net rating in the league. So you had all these things that popped up that said, just wait till the playoffs. You didn't have quite as many this year, but 3 straight years coming into this year, you couldn't see it in the playoffs. Injuries were a big piece of it. So it is easy to say, just give it one more year and see how that fits together. You know, the enhanced chemistry, and that is undeniable, between Giannis and Damian Lillard. It has looked much better this season than it did last year. Let's see that. Let's see Chris Middleton on the floor together. Let's see this improved defense. Let's see that in the playoffs. I get that. But I think when you look at the return the Bucks got for Chris Middleton and the fact that John Horst, somebody as close to Chris Middleton as John Horst was, decided it's time to move on, I think that told you where the group's faith was in that logic. That trio being healthy, Chris Middleton being healthy and available in the postseason. Even Chris Middleton himself acknowledged that and said, we're on different timelines. They needed me sooner. I wasn't at that point just yet. And oh, by the way, I know the Washington Wizards were in a different spot than the Bucks in terms of what they were playing for. But oh, by the way, Chris Middleton, in case you missed it, was shut down again. And this wasn't the typical, we're not trying to win, we're shutting him down. It was another knee ailment late in the season that shut him down for the remainder of the season. So going off of that logic, who knows if we would even get a look at that trio together. But as we've learned, the playoffs are a much, much different story. And you've heard me mention this quite a bit, the old 82 versus 16 adage. The guys that you can play throughout the course of 82 games versus those guys that can win you 16 games in the playoffs and a championship. It is undeniable Chris Middleton is a 16 player. Giannis is one of those guys. I still believe Damian Lillard is one of those guys. Brooke Lopez, I think, is one of those guys. You have a number of those guys. They've just not been healthy together. And that level of being a 16 guy has started to diminish over the years with age. I think what we're seeing now is just a roster that has started to atrophy from that seven-year run. To be in the playoffs, nine straight seasons now, but really this era of Bucks basketball, seven seasons that you've had gone on these playoff runs, two trips to the Eastern Conference Finals, one NBA championship, and it's going to be remembered, hopefully won't be remembered, I should say, but what's fresh in your memory is back-to-back losses in the first round of the playoffs and now one loss away from making that three straight. But over time, you just see that atrophy take place where guys leave. And this is not an organization getting cheap. I don't think anybody can make that argument when you look at where the Bucks were in terms of salary cap and the luxury tax that they were paying. Coming into this season, following two straight first-round exits, they still had, I believe, the fourth highest payroll and luxury tax in the league coming into this season. It was an ownership group that was committed to spending. But your guys just started to break down on you. One by one, guys either getting older, leaving, trades and free agency, the moves that you made to bring in these players that put you at that level, it takes a toll. And it's easy to point to young players in development and say, well, here's the problem. The Bucks don't have any young players that they're developing. I don't disagree. You do now. That's been the big change in these last 2 years, that you can look at a guy like A.J. Green and you've gotten him big, valuable playoff minutes this season and see what he's developed into. We think Jericho Sims is another one of those pieces who has certainly enticed you and shown you enough to feel like this is a guy we'd like to keep around for the long haul. You got him for DeLon Wright, a player that you signed to the veteran minimum. So you may back into that one and continue to develop him. Ryan Rollins, another guy. I wouldn't say you stumbled into, but that's another guy whose development accelerated because of injuries and other things. And then you get Kevin Porter Jr., who has all the talent in the world. It's the other things that bring the questions. You get Kevin Porter Jr. for a player that you had basically given up on in Marjon Beauchamp and said, we're declining his fourth-year player option. Nobody's ever brought back when that happens. So you did get to restock some things in terms of your youth. Oh, by the way, Gary Trent Jr. is 26 years old. You got a good chance, a decent chance, if he wants to remain here with your cap situation, to retain him. You've started to add more young pieces, but you needed those guys a couple of years ago to help replenish the cupboard and get those guys up to that level. You've seen it with A.J. Green, but if you could continue to develop those guys each of the past two or three seasons and see where they're at now when you need it most, that's one of the things that stood out about this group. As I said, I know we've kind of gone all over and touched on this season, what to look forward to in the offseason. I don't want to get into the full-on here's the offseason primer mode and discussion yet because the offseason isn't here. The numbers suggest it will be here very soon, but it's not here yet. When that happens, then we can do that. But look, you still have number 34. It's going to take a Herculean effort to not only win this series, to extend this series to Milwaukee. But that's the guy you want on your side to do so. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned that score in the NBA playoffs. You only got two games being played tonight, and one of them is a closeout game, and it is all but closed out. So we'll give you that score and preview the other one coming up after this on Bucks Weekly.
Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
Well, the NBA playoffs continue tonight. Just two games on your schedule, and one of those, as I mentioned, is a closeout opportunity. It is all but closed out. That's in Miami, where the Cleveland Cavaliers currently lead that best of seven series 3-0. And right now, the Cleveland Cavaliers are up 57 points on the Miami Heat. A home elimination game in Miami, down 57 points To say this one wasn't pretty from the start is the understatement of the century. It was 43-17 after the first quarter. The Miami Heat wouldn't crack 20 in a quarter until the third quarter, where they were outscored 39-30. It was 72-33 at halftime. And now the Heat still down 57 points with just over 3 minutes left. So the Cleveland Cavaliers are headed to the second round of the playoffs. They now wait for the winner of this Bucks-Pacers series. So we may have that series finalized as early as tomorrow, depending on the results in our game in Indianapolis. The other game on the schedule tonight tips off at 9 o'clock, and that is game number 4 in the best-of-7 series out in San Francisco between the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. The big news in that series is the health of Jimmy Butler, who suffered a nasty fall in Game 2, did not play in Game 3. It didn't matter. And Jimmy Butler is available for this game tonight with that pelvic contusion. So the Warriors with a chance to go up 3-1 in that best-of-7 series. Brings us to tomorrow, where the Bucks look to avoid elimination at the hands of the Indiana Pacers. So we'll take a look at the schedule for tomorrow, because just to make sure everyone's aware, that game tips at 5 o'clock tomorrow in Indianapolis, 6 o'clock local time in Indy, 5 o'clock central time, the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. 4:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. You may have seen that and thought, well, that has to be a typo. There's no way this game is playing at 5 o'clock. It is. So we'll explain why and get you set for that matchup coming up after this on Bucks Weekly.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
Yeah, the Bucks play at 5 o'clock tomorrow. It is not a typo, and the reason for that 5 o'clock tip time is we got 4 games on tomorrow's schedule, and 3 of those 4 are closeout games. So the Bucks and Pacers tip things off at 5. As we're all aware, a Pacers win punches their ticket to the second round, where they will face the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Boston Celtics host the Magic at 7:30. They have a chance to close out that series up 3-1. The New York Knicks host the Pistons at 6:30. They have a chance to close things out, and they would then move on to face the Celtics in that scenario in the second round of the playoffs. And this after the officiating crew basically put the hand up and said, my bad, after yesterday's game in Detroit, where it was deemed, after seeing the replay, there was in fact contact with Tim Hardaway Jr. There should have been 3 shots awarded. If he hits 2, Pistons win, and we got a 2-2 series. And the only game played tomorrow that is not a closeout game is Game 5 in Denver between the Nuggets and the Clippers. That series is tied at 2 games apiece. So the playoff schedule beefs up tomorrow, but it could be pretty lean in the coming days after that. We have a lively chat here. A lot of discourse around the Bucks coaching. I get that. But I do want to address one thing that we've seen pop up in the chat quite a bit. I was asked about by a few other people. I was on, if you listen to ESPN Milwaukee, you may have heard this conversation on Wilde and Tausch, and was on a text thread with those guys and a few others where they brought this up as well. It wasn't they. I don't want to lump Jason in with this, but Mark Tauscher mentioned, well, hey, why don't you just trade Damian Lillard? Look, we just went through the scenarios with Dame. He's very likely going to be 36 years old before he plays in a game again, recovering from an Achilles injury. I'm not going to doubt the guy from coming back, but we have seen those types of injuries become very debilitating and reduce you from the player that you once were. There is that to contend with. There is the money to contend with. You can make comparisons too of, because I've heard this elsewhere. Well, the Brooklyn Nets signed Kevin Durant months after he tore his Achilles. They paid him for a year to not play. Well, the difference is Kevin Durant was 30 years old at the time of that signing. 30, not 35. And Kevin Durant is a 7-foot sniper, one of the greatest scoring big men of all time in the history of the league, a player type that is going to age gracefully. And we have continued to see that throughout his career. The injuries have been there, sure. I think at this point you kind of factor in, we're going to get 60 games a year out of Kevin Durant. But those 60, pretty good. Still efficient as he ever was. I'm not saying Damian Lillard can't do that. But as we said at the start of the show, the thing that concerns you the most is that burst and what an Achilles injury is going to do to that. So that's why it's not quite as easy as saying, take on Damian Lillard. That's how you can get out of it. That was the worst case scenario for the Bucks. We're not quite there yet in terms of this season being over. It could be tomorrow. It could be Friday. It could be 2 weeks from now. We will certainly have a lot to discuss as it comes to what this team looks like next year, what you can do, what direction this group goes in after, again, a 7-year run where you got one championship. And that's the other thing. So many people, you hear the discourse of, yeah, it's really a shame that Giannis and Jokic each only have one championship. It feels like it should be more than that. Only one team can win. And, you know, the days of the Warriors doing what they did with that dynasty, the days of LeBron James taking the Heat to 4 straight finals, the Cavs, same number there, we're not going to see that again. The way that the CBA is, the Bucks were one of the last teams, I do believe, that is going to be constructed as they currently are. When you look at multiple superstars on a team, the current CBA makes that all but impossible. There were other outliers. I mean, if we want to call Kyrie Irving a superstar, you look at that with Dallas. But, oh, by the way, Luka Doncic was traded. And I don't know, now you got Luka and LeBron James together in Los Angeles. LeBron James is 40 years old. And look at the rest of that roster. It is not good enough. That's why they're in a 3-1 deficit, same spot as the Bucks, against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So that to me is the big thing, is this league has started to transition to parity in many ways. And unfortunately for the Bucks, it comes at a time you least want it. If you would have told any of us a decade ago, 15 years ago, remember how lean some of those years were at the Bradley Center. If you would have told us then, the league is going to get to a level where parity is king, similar to what we're seeing in the NFL, we would have rejoiced. But now that the Bucks move past that level, that's what the CBA has brought with it. And I do believe this group, whenever it is, that it is not anywhere near what it once was in terms of how it looks, they're going to be the last of that breed. We'll get you set for tip-off tomorrow night, 5 o'clock in Indianapolis. The Bucks and the Pacers, can they keep their season alive? We'll set the table for that one and wrap things up after this on Bucks Weekly.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
5 o'clock tomorrow night, the Bucks and the Indiana Pacers in Game 5 of this best-of-7 series. Bucks need to win to keep their season alive. So we already saw one change to the starting lineup, two actually, with Damian Lillard's return and then the change to insert Gary Trent Jr. I'm curious what version of this team we see tomorrow. Not in the sense of how do they look, but literally, how do they look? Do we see any other changes to the starting lineup? And leaning into the guys that have been most effective in this series, as Doc Rivers indicated afterwards, we got to pull an all-nighter here, review the film, find what works, find the rotations and matchups that we can exploit, and how do we lean into Giannis being the guy to take us there. Tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock tip, 4:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk with you then.